Good morning and welcome to worship at Elim. For those of you who are not here, about a month ago when I came and preached for you, my name is Jean Bauer. My husband is Pastor Tom Bauer, who is serving right now as the interim pastor at First Presbyterian Church until their new pastor comes the 1st of July. It's a very exciting event. We're getting a young man with two small children, and I understand you're getting a young man with three small children. So I'm hopeful they'll be able to meet each other because they'll be brothers in ministry here in Marshalltown. We have a beautiful service to go through today. Wonderful music, the scripture, the powerful scripture of our Lord Jesus Christ and of all the writers before in the Old Testament. It's going to be a blessed service. I'm glad that you've chosen to be here this morning. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation.
Amen.
Joined to the death and life of Christ through holy baptism, let us give thanks for this precious gift. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Walking with your people of every time and place, you have provided food and water, life and light, while forgiving sin and giving new birth. By this blessed sacrament, you have made us your sons and daughters, heirs of your promise and servants of all. So we praise you for the gift of water, for the new life that is ours in Christ. By the daily renewal of your Holy Spirit, help us walk faithfully with you and humbly with the earth, its creatures, and all your people, so that new life may abound for all. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
For the sake of your Son,
Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us,
and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be the people of God. Alleluia. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are his. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God. And join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing, honor, glory, and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. And now the prayer of the day. All-powerful God, in Jesus Christ, you turn death into life and defeat into victory. Increase our faith and trust in him, that we may triumph over all evil in the strength of the same Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now we have our scriptures for the day.
Is from Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." Word of God, word of life. Let us read responsively then Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, I hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand? Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared. I wait for you, O Lord, my soul waits. In your word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption. For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke, We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what we can, not at what we can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that Jesus and his disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demon, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you. Have trouble sleeping at night. Maybe some of you have that same problem. I seem to wake up sometime between 1:30 and 3. So if you ever need to call me for anything, that's a really good time to call. And I try many things to sort of put myself back to sleep. One of the things that I do is to recite all of the scripture that I know, that I've memorized over the years from childhood, count them, see how far I can go. And the other night I was doing this, and I came to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for instruction in righteousness, that the people of God, men and women, children, people of God, may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. And I prepared to go on, but I couldn't. That verse came to my mind again, so I said it again. And I prepared to go on to the next verse, and once again, it was like a break had been put there, and I said, "Okay, Lord, this usually happens when there's something I need to learn from that scripture." So I said it again, all scripture, Old and New Testament, is God-breathed, which means inspired by God, which means it's as active as the day it was written and now. It's always active, it's always working, it's always powerful. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. Well, of course it's useful for teaching. That's how we learn things of God. And teaching and rebuking, ooh, that's a harsh word. That's, You shouldn't have done that. With the finger wag, it means you are wrong. Change. Turn around. All scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. That's a gentler term. It means doing a good job, but a little change is needed here. Come on, we can do this. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and instruction in righteousness or right living. Very true of scripture. That's why we come to it. That's why we have a sermon every Sunday. That the people of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. Now, we don't do good works for salvation. We know this. Ephesians 2:8-9. We know, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, gift of God, lest anybody should boast. But then it goes on to say, for we are God's creation, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he's prepared for us way long ago before we were born to do. So I thought, And then I thought, all scripture. And then it hit me. Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. He doesn't have a clue that what he's writing is going to become scripture one day. New Testament scripture. Doesn't have a clue. His scripture was the Old Testament. Jesus' scripture was the Old Testament. They didn't even have the Gospels when Paul was writing. And I thought, that means Jesus, when he quoted from scripture, he meant the Old Testament. And so I got out of bed, went in, turned on the computer, started reading. Do you know Jesus quoted from 14 different Old Testament books? The one that I could bring up from memory was when he said to a crowd, he said, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, in Matthew he said this, I too will be 3 days and three nights in the bowels, the belly of the earth. He was talking about his death and then, of course, his resurrection. And I thought, wow, Jesus, he was quoting Jonah 1,000 years about after Jonah's account had been written. I'm sitting here at the computer 3,000 years after. God has something he wants to teach me. And so I began thinking of a sermon, because I'm always thinking of what I'm going to say to other people, the people of God. And so that's what we're going to do today. We are going to talk about Jonah, and we're going to do it next Sunday too. It's a very short book. It takes 6 or 7 minutes to read. Today, chapters 1 and 2. Now, we are going to be thinking, what is this ancient text saying to me? And we'll talk also about what it meant to those people, but what is it saying to me? That's critical. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Is it going to be teaching me, rebuking me, correcting me, or is it going to be instructing me in righteous living? Will you pray with me, please? And Father, now I have the privilege of opening the Word of God. I have the privilege of being the spokesperson. But these are your people. These are your people. And they too must open their hearts and minds. And so I pray that your Spirit will feel welcome here this morning, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Jonah was one of God's many Old Testament prophets. There are 16 of their books in the Old Testament, and they're long accounts of what they said and what the conditions of the people were like. They're really quite amazing, sometimes a little frightening to read, pretty tough language in there. But the book of Jonah is different. It's a tiny, short book, and it doesn't talk much about what he did or said. Well, it does talk about one tiny interval. Maybe this book covers a month or two at the most. It's just a little snapshot of his life. Very, very interesting. And Jonah, by the way, really lived. He's referred to in the book of 2 Kings. He lived during the reign of Jeroboam II of Israel, a very unpleasant king, about 750 BC. And he was the son of Amittai. They were very careful to record. Our Old Testament history books are among the most revered in terms of authentic writing of any of the ancient writings in the world. So Jonah lived. Now, we're going to go to the first chapter, and I'm just going to read it. It's so short. I'll comment on it, and then we'll begin to say, what is it speaking to me? Now, at this time, and I should tell you, Israel always had enemies. We always have enemies, geopolitical enemies. Who are ours? Well, we could list them, couldn't we? China, Russia, Iran. And 50 years ago, 70 years ago, they were different. But Jonah was living at a time when the Assyrian Empire was in power. They have the distinction of possibly being the most cruel, vile empire ever in the history of mankind. I read about how they treated political prisoners, how they treated villages that they went to, how they treated the soldiers if they captured them from another country. I can't even share it with you. It's so repulsive. They were wicked, evil people, and Israel hated them. So with that setting, and their capital city was Nineveh, let's begin. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. God is finally going to act against Nineveh. All right? And he wants Jonah, his prophet. Prophets spoke for God to the people. They didn't like prophets very well because they spoke the truth. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. We don't know why he's fleeing. Scripture doesn't say. Then the Lord, who had a job for Jonah, a good work he wanted him to do, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. God says, I need this done, and Jonah's my man. I'll get his attention. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Now, everybody had a god back then, god of the sea, god of the wind, god of the camel, god of the rocks. Everybody had a god. So they're calling on their gods, help us, save us. And back then, if you prayed to your God and he didn't answer you, you had done something wrong. You had made him unhappy, so you had to give him something. So the sailors are all praying. They're losing their cargo. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. So now they want Jonah to add his God. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to see who is responsible for this calamity. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. It was some kind of a game that they would play with bone dice. Even God's people used it as well. So they said, Jonah. And they came to Jonah, and they said, tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. In other words, why is your God mad? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? He answered, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, the one who made the sea and the land. This terrified them. They knew about the God of the Hebrews. The story of the Exodus and Moses was still on people's lips. They knew what God had done for the Israelites when they came into the land that they took over. This terrified them. What have you done? They asked. They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. You see, these sailors were innocent bystanders. They had nothing to do with the Assyrian Empire being wicked. They had nothing to do with Jonah and what he wanted to do, but they were being hurt because of the prophet of God who was disobeying God. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord God, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased. Then they took Jonah, threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. In other words, they said, this God is more powerful than our God. The God of the Hebrews is the God to serve, and they decided that they would do that. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. God prepared a special fish that could accommodate a man. They're always saying, well, nobody could live in a whale. Well, it wasn't a whale. It was a God-created great fish for this purpose. So Jonah disobeys a call from God. God pursues Jonah, and in the process, innocent people are hurt. Jonah says, throw me in. They do it after saying to God, please don't blame us for taking his life. And the sea is calm. Then Jonah's prayer, chapter 2. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God and said, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I cried out for help. And I want you to listen to how he describes what's happening. This is amazing. This was written 3,000 years ago. Nobody had been down in the little ships that we have now that can do these things. This is what is written. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I was banished from your sight. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on dry land. This we know from our childhood memory of this story. Jonah, disobedient prophet, when he turned to God in his distress, God forgave him, rescued him, brought him up, spared his life. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a beautiful story. Now, what did the people 3,000 years think about this story? They were appalled that a prophet of God would try to flee from God's presence. They must have shaken their heads and said, Jonah, Jonah, you are a prophet. You know Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So they were really surprised and shocked that Jonah would have acted this way. But when the prayer came, they would have said, oh, of course that's our God. Gracious, forgiving. He's a wonderful God, and he's powerful. How wonderful that we worship such a God. Now, what does this story say to us? I think it says three things. The first thing is, it asks a very uncomfortable question. Listen carefully. If you're dozing off, someone notice and poke you to get you awake. Here's the question. What's your Nineveh? What's my Nineveh? What is it that we have a sense that God would like us to change? Something that he has noticed because he loves us, that he knows isn't quite right. What about you? What about me? Maybe in our family units, we have a behavior that isn't helpful to the peace of the family. Maybe there's a bit of controlling spirit in me, in you, that we need to think about. And God has been trying to get our attention. He's saying, think of the scripture. Think of the instruction for living. Are you living this way in the family unit? Do you need to change? Maybe it's your work environment. Maybe you're not treating people. Maybe I'm not treating people with the kind of respect and love that God expects us to as his people. What about my thought pattern? What about yours? Are there things that are creeping in that aren't helpful, that aren't useful, and they're beginning to take over time? Maybe there's an unhealthy relationship that's budding that should be put away. Maybe it's an issue with the body, maybe eating, that God has been trying to speak to you, trying to speak to me through people, through scripture, through that voice that we don't know how it is that God speaks to us, but we know that he does. What's my Nineveh? What's yours? And the second question is, who are the people who are being hurt by my decision to resist? Who are the people, like the sailors, those poor sailors, it wasn't their fault, but they were trapped in that situation with Jonah. Who are the people who are being hurt by my decision to resist whatever it is God would like me to change? Those are very probing questions that we need to ask, because that scripture that is God-breathed says, I love you, and I have things I would like to see happen in your life. Yield yourself to me. And the final thing that I want us to think about this week is, are you experiencing the wonder of God's forgiveness? When there are things in our lives that we know have hurt others or even hurt ourselves, we can come to God in utter honesty and say, Lord, forgive me. Look what I have done. Look at this past thing. People are still hurting because of my decisions. Father, forgive me, and in your grace, reach back and soothe and heal. That's a wonderful experience. Is it something that you regularly experience? We all need to, because this side of heaven, we are going to continue not doing things that we know we should do and stumbling into things that we're not even aware we're doing. We need to know that God says to us, I love you, come to me. There's forgiveness and restoration with me. This is the place of new beginning when you come to me. Second chances, starting again. You're mine, I love you. He offers that to us, even when in Jonah's case, he truly did a foolish thing as God's servant trying not to do what God was asking him to do. But we too, in our lives, do the same thing. So what have we done this morning? Well, we started looking at Jonah as adults, not as children, with the Bible story that we're so familiar with. What is my Nineveh? Who are the people that are being hurt by my resisting God's call in my life to change something? And then, do I experience and know his wonderful forgiveness? Let's take those three things into this week. And next week, we'll finish the last two chapters, and you will be amazed. You will be amazed at how this story ends. Don't read ahead. Do not read ahead. Wait, and we'll experience this together. Jonah is still teaching after 3,000 years. I'm glad you were here this morning. I believe God always is willing to speak to us when we come with open hearts and open ears. Will you please pray with me? Father, Father, how thankful we are that you never leave us alone. The scripture is always here. You are always willing to listen to us. And we have a church family, a group of fellow believers that we can turn to. How blessed we are. In your son's name, amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. The peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you. Are there announcements at this time that need to be made? The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. And now we will pray. We're going to come before the triune God in prayer. Please join me in a brief time of silence. God of wholeness, we pray for believers all over the globe. Unify us in the service of the gospel, that we may work together as beloved siblings to share your love with all. Lord, in your mercy, our prayer, in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and gave thanks, and he broke it. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Amen. Join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who share in his supper. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift. In faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Come to him freely for forgiveness and healing. So go in peace, share the good news. Thanks be to God.